Dumbledore reached across to Professor McGonagall's desk, picked up the blood-stained silver sword, and handed it to Harry. Dully, Harry turned it over, the rubies blazing in the firelight, and then he saw the name engraved just below the hilt. Godric Gryffindor.
Only a true Gryffindor could have pulled that out of the hat, Harry, said Dumbledore simply.
For a minute, neither of them spoke. Then Dumbledore pulled open one of the drawers in Professor McGonagall's desk and took out a quill and a bottle of ink.
What you need, Harry, is some food and sleep. I suggest you go down to the feast while I write to Azkaban. We need our gamekeeper back, and I must draft an advertisement for the Daily Prophet, too, he added thoughtfully. We'll be needing a new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. Dear me, we do seem to run through them, don't we?
Harry got up and crossed to the door. He had just reached for the handle, however, when the door burst open so violently that it bounced back off the wall. Lucius Malfoy stood there, fury in his face, and, cowering behind his legs, heavily wrapped in bandages, was Dobby.
"Good evening, Lucius," said Dumbledore pleasantly.
Mr. Malfoy almost knocked Harry over as he swept into the room. Dobby went scurrying in after him, crouching at the hem of his cloak, a look of abject terror on his face. The elf was carrying a stained rag with which he was attempting to finish cleaning Mr. Malfoy's shoes. Apparently Mr. Malfoy had set out in a great hurry, for not only were his shoes half-polished, but his usually sleek hair was dishevelled. Ignoring the elf bobbing apologetically around his ankles, he fixed his cold eyes upon Dumbledore.
"So," he said, "you've come back. The governor's suspended you, but you still saw fit to return to Hogwarts." "Well, you see, Lucius," said Dumbledore, smiling serenely, "the other 11 governors contacted me today. It was something like being caught in a hailstorm of owls, to tell the truth. They'd heard that Arthur Weasley's daughter had been killed and wanted me back here at once. They seemed to think I was the best man for the job, after all. Very strange tales they told me, too. Several of them seemed to think that you had threatened to curse their families if they didn't agree to suspend me in the first place."
Mr. Malfoy went even paler than usual, but his eyes were still slits of fury.
"So, have you stopped the attacks yet?" he sneered. "Have you caught the culprit?"
"We have," said Dumbledore with a smile.
"Well," said Mr. Malfoy sharply, "who is it?" "The same person as last time, Lucius," said Dumbledore, "but this time Lord Voldemort was acting through somebody else by means of this diary."
He held up the small black book with the large hole through the center, watching Mr. Malfoy closely. Harry, however, was watching Dobby. The elf was doing something very odd. His great eyes fixed meaningfully on Harry. He kept pointing at the diary, then at Mr. Malfoy, and then hitting himself hard on the head with his fist.
"I see," said Mr. Malfoy slowly to Dumbledore. "A clever plan," said Dumbledore in a level voice, still staring Mr. Malfoy straight in the eye. "Because if Harry here..."
Mr. Malfoy shot Harry a swift, sharp look.
"And his friend Ron hadn't discovered this book. Why, Ginny Weasley might have taken all the blame. No one would ever have been able to prove she hadn't acted of her own free will."